Welcome to On the Roadcast.
Snacks,
trucks,
and rock and roll.
Cheers. We're so excited to have you.
What are we doing?
On the Roadcast. This is so, we're having season two. This is the start of season two. Season one was in a podcast studio or on location, nice. Like in venues. And season two is going to be on the road in the bus.
So I'm popping the cherry. I'm popping the cherry for season two, episode one.
Exactly.
Very cool.
Oh, I was just talking
to my
monster can instead of the mic. Oh, God.
Thank you for coming.
Let's see if this works.
Of course. I'm very stoked to be here.
Way more stoked.
Definitely one of the sweatiest episodes. And you know what I'm talking about when I say the hair on the back of my neck it's insane.
You know, what's funny is like, when I walked up to this, I'm like, should I put my hair up? No, I'm going to put the hair down because like that looks better. It looks cooler. And now I'm like double thinking.
You can be so glad you have this beard because I'm going to be like doing this all the time.
Oh, no.
Connie needs a beard.
Connie, trust me, you don't need a beard because it would stick all day. Like
and
the
you
amount
have
of
to
times
wax
it's like,
if you don't need it. I've got Czech roots. I know what I'm talking about.
Wait.
Yeah, we have to cut that.
Is it like, does it get pretty bad? Or like a lot of Czech women, do they have a lot of like hair?
I don't know. But
it's
not that bad. No, I have whiskers.
It's not like a waxing. She doesn't need to wax. She just takes some tweezers and sometimes pulls the hair up.
Yeah, like a extra long one that's sticking out.
And you know the spots where they always grow.
Can we please just take all of this out? I just made a confession
I think this is all the women with beards out there, we feel you.
Hey, so do I.
This is some sexiest shit I've ever said.
No, you know what? It's so funny because like when I was a kid, I would see like my cousins, not calling any of my cousins out who are watching this. But I would see like family members and like women I knew, like obviously having to like, they would do like threading. Oh. And I was like, well, I remember one time my mom did it on my arm and I'm like, that fucking hurts.
Fuck.
Like, how are you doing that on
your
face?
What are your roots?
My parents are from Afghanistan.
Okay, because your last name is Baki.
Baki.
You said that's how most people call you also. Baki is,
yeah.
And how do you call it? Afghani?
You can say if you're from Afghanistan. I think my brother would be a little bit more knowledgeable on how to call somebody. Like, I've never been called Afghani. I think you use that to describe
It is an Afghani vase.
Yeah,
or
exactly.
Whatever.
Or a rug or something like that. But you don't do like an Afghani person. You do an Afghan person.
So you're an Afghan.
Yeah, yeah.
Not from a native language. As
no,
you can
you're
see.
Totally fine.
My
trust
native
me.
Language, whenever I'm in Italy, is Italian. So this is
Where
great.
Where are you guys from? Wait, you're Czech.
No, my roots are just hairy Czech people. I'm from Austria.
Yeah,
half
we're
German.
Both from Austria. Okay, but actually, so I've been in Italy for a very long time when I was younger, and I do act like I'm like half Italian. I'm like, I'm
she
Italian.
Does.
And I talk with my hands, and I talk Italian fluently. So, and we didn't say that just yet. We're in Milan, Italy.
Yeah.
Should I
Coming
hold on to
you.
A can? What no, the hell?
It should be okay, right? It's safe, so, I think. That's fine.
Where do you live? Where are you from?
So I live in California. Like specifically, I live in Orange County.
Mm-hmm.
So you have Los bougie. Angeles. I know.
You're a bougie bitch.
You would think I'm a bougie bitch, but where I live is like, we call it Section 8 housing. Which
like
is
the
like,
projects?
Kind of. But it's still a nice place. That's the crazy thing about Orange County. It's like, I gotcha. It's bougie, but it's not as bougie as places like Newport Beach and stuff like that. That's where like famous people live and stuff. But it's still very nice. Like, I love California. It's beautiful. The only downside is it's expensive, and a lot of the people that live there think that that's the center of the universe. And that kind of leaks into some of the personalities. Not everybody, but in public,
we've never been.
We have been.
No, not Orange County.
Oh, no. Sorry. No.
Have you guys been to California, though?
Yeah,
what part?
Of course, Los Angeles.
Yeah, just north, like California.
California.
You know what, Los Angeles. Yeah. You get a taste of what Orange County is like because it's like Los Angeles. 1 hour south is Orange County. 1 hour south is San Diego.
Yeah.
So that whole area, like when you visit one, you kind of visit all of it. Mm-hmm. It's nice, but again, it's very, very expensive. But you pay for the weather and like how beautiful
and for the wildfires and
yeah,
all
oh yeah, for the 40, I guess technically it would be like 40 euro
celebrities
sushi
around.
Yeah, yeah, it's expensive, but yeah, I love California. Sure.
Talking about celebrities, we have not introduced you properly yet.
That's how we do it.
That's how we always do it.
We start rambling.
There is no, there's no structure in this.
I like it. I prefer no structure because then you can piece it together. It's better
and
that way.
Connie's a pro at this.
And piecing editing together.
Yes.
Are you a good editor?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, she is. Like, I just do the video stuff. I'm going to put this here because I don't trust this and I don't want to spill it on you.
I wonder why it's not. Okay.
So this bus, as I told you before, it's like from 2006. It's an old guy. His name is Sylvester.
This is Sylvester? This is Sylvester?
Yeah, it's Sylvester because it's silver.
Silver.
That is so creative. Wow.
I didn't even come up with it myself. I was talking to a friend. I'm like, what am I going to name this new van? And he's like, called it Sylvester. I'm like, okay. It's better than any idea that I had.
You didn't even ask me, but I'm not going to say anything about it.
You can pick
now,
a name.
Now we have to ask.
What would your choice be?
I would take an old man's name, like...
So my old car was called Francesco. Maybe I should call this one like Fernando. With the...
No, it's not
still
Italian.
Like Sylvester over Fernando.
I think it's fitting, like Sylvester.
I just wanted to give you shit. Sylvester's all right.
Sylvester's actually kind of the... And now that you've said it, I can't think of any other name.
Yeah, that's
that
the name. That's the name.
Speaking of names, to this introduce is... our guest, this is David Bakke. Hi, or Bakke.
More specifically, Bakke, but yeah.
More specifically,
from
Bakke.
Being as an Ocean.
So I play guitar. I'm the touring guitar player for Being as an Ocean. I am the singer of a band called Takers Leavers. Yes. I also play guitar in a band called Erase Theory.
That's true.
And I'm a tour manager in front of house for several different artists.
That is very true because I did some research and he did not lie.
A man with many talents.
Yes.
One of them being playing the guitar, and we're going to go to the show tonight. And we've been to your show last year, which is where we met you.
In Vienna, right?
In Vienna, yeah, we just started chatting outside of the venue and kind of stayed in touch.
Because you knew Danny, right?
We
you
didn't, yeah. Yeah, your front of house
so
guy.
So you came up to me and was like,
is this Danny? Yeah, right. And just, yeah, that's how Connie and I are. We just walk up to people and start talking once we are over being nervous. And we're like, okay, fuck it.
Yeah. It's honestly at the end of the day, like the music community is very small. Mm-hmm. Even in the States, you think there's so many people there, but it's actually pretty tiny.
You know Dan Kenny. Dan Kenny or Mark from Suicide Silence?
No, I know Ernie. Ernie, the drummer.
Oh, you know Ernie?
Yeah, Ernie's my really
But you know friend. Someone else. I saw it. We have mutual friends.
I think I might have met him a couple times, maybe, but I don't think we have like Ernie's an old friend of mine.
Oh, really?
Like local bands, like not together, but our bands have played together before. But okay. I know people who are really close with Dan.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like 2 degrees of separation.
Right.
But the music industry is just like,
it's so
you
small.
Always meet someone who knows someone. It's crazy. Like the moment you start touring with like international bands, wherever you go, you meet other international people who know them. It's speaking of small world, your bus driver.
Oh, we were pulling Marco. Up
and then I was like, oh, look at that mini tours van. And oh God, that's the driver that I was touring with this summer when I was out with Comeback Kid. And his name is Marco. He's German. And
Marco's the best driver.
Yeah,
ever.
I immediately called him because Marco and me, we've been through shit this summer. And I love that he's here now and that I can tell this story.
Near death.
I almost
experience.
Died in one of those mini tour vans.
Okay, so what happened?
So we were talking about how they're pretty small. There's 9 bunks and like 6 of them are like you face the direction of the car with your head, and there's 3 bunks in the back, like right by the back door.
I'm in the
it's
middle
like
one.
It's parallel to the, yeah. No, I was in the middle
the
one.
Very, the middle
so
back one, yeah.
We were in Romania on our way to Serbia, and we partied pretty late. I was like going to bed at 5 in the morning, and we started driving at whatever, 5 or so. And then I wasn't even asleep for 2 hours, and I was really like shit-faced. So I had earplugs in, and I was like out of the world. And then someone suddenly like wakes me up and says, Connie, don't move. And I'm like, what? Where is all this light coming from? Because, you know, in there it's like dark.
Yeah.
It's dark. There's no windows. And then I like turn my head and I see the trailer and the road behind me because the door
opened.
Broke open. We were on the Serbian highway. The door broke open. All my shit was in my bunk. And I was like just grabbing my stuff and holding on to it until the driver pulled to the side and stopped. I was like, I almost fell out. And I didn't even notice it open because I was like so out of this world.
Yeah.
But the bassist, Chase, he woke up because of the light. He had the bunk like
above you.
No, like our heads were coming together. He was like the corner, and the wall wasn't like closed. So it was like one of their worst vans that they have. And yeah, he saw the light and he woke me up, and then like we realized the lock was broken, so we couldn't close it. And then we had to go, like we were in Serbia at that point, and we went to different like car garage stuff, like Mercedes garage.
Mechanics and stuff.
But no one spoke English or any language that we spoke, and no one wanted to help us.
You said you were in Romania or Serbia?
At this point, I think we were in Serbia.
Oh, okay.
And then we had to like makeshift, do something, close the door. I couldn't go to bed anymore, so...
Gaff tape, everything.
Yeah, everything we found. And then I spent the rest of the drive sitting up and sleeping like in the front.
Right behind the driver. Yeah. Little row of seats.
And then... A couple of days later, the van broke down totally, like something in the... It has a manual shift and something broke. And then we wound up touring with a normal van and sleeping in hotels. And so the whole thing was just doomed to break down. But I actually almost died in a mini tours van. But Marco was really nice. Him and the mini tours guys
Marco is incredibly... we've had him for 3 tours now since the pandemic happened. We've been here 3 times. All 3 times we ask for Marco. We're like, hey, if he's available, we want him. Just because I've seen him turn the van and trailer around in a tight parking lot like a boss. He does it. I have a video of him. the trailer's unhooked. And he hooks this corner. He's just backing it. And he lines up perfectly to where the trailer is. I think that I'm pretty sure there's a camera there. But even still, to have
it's a talent.
Speed. And I'm not sure if they're like the ones that we were driving in was so crappy and old. I think the ones that you have are a bit newer. So maybe they have cameras. But his old one didn't have cameras.
That's fucked up. Am I allowed to cuss on here?
Oh, of course. Fuck shit.
Fuck shit.
Oh,
hell
you
yeah.
Can cuss all the way. We also talk a lot about pooping. Cool, okay,
that's important. That's an important part of touring.
Because you can't poop on the bus.
Okay, hold on. Important question.
Poop stories.
Do you guys know what a hot bag is?
Oh yeah. We talk about that every episode. Please give us your best
and she
poop
came up
story.
To me. The hot bag... Okay, you got a story. I see it.
Ever hot bagged one time, and it wasn't that bad, but somebody else told me a story... I think it...
Is cops involved? Because we heard that
No. it was... Somebody had hot bagged, and it was the middle of the night, and it was like two bandwagons like following each other. And the person who hot bagged, like, it was maybe 3-4 o'clock in the morning, and they took their bag and threw it out, not knowing that the other bandwagon was behind them.
Shit.
And they chucked it and then went straight to bed, woke up at the venue the next day... And the driver of the other van was like spraying the thing down. And he looked at the dude who walked out. And the dude who walked out was like half asleep. He's like, oh, hey, you know, I forgot the name of the bus driver. He's like, how's it going? The guy's like looking at him and he's like, hey, how are you? Very short, angry. Because he knew somebody in that band had chucked it out the window. But he's literally spraying diarrhea off of this fucking window.
Did he not try to find the culprit and to...
No, because he's just a driver.
Nobody would
like,
say...
You know, nobody's going to own up to that.
Like, he was a driver. Yeah, probably.
What's he going to say? Again, this is a story that I'm kind of retelling, so I might be missing some, like, details. But I've only ever hot bagged one time, and it was like... So I don't eat... I don't eat spicy foods that much. I love spicy foods, but if I'm home, I'll eat them. But if I'm not home, I won't.
You never know when it kicks.
Exactly. And this past a week ago, me and Michael, the singer and guitar player for Being as an Ocean, we went and got Sri Lankan food.
Mm.
Ooh.
It was me, Michael, Murray, our content creator, and I think it was just us three. We went and got this like amazing curry. It was so good. Mm-hmm. It was so flavorful.
Oh, boy.
And I knew the whole time, I'm like, this is going to fuck me up later. This is for sure going to fuck me up later.
Chipotle.
Was it worth it?
But
I won't eat Chipotle for that reason.
Yeah.
But the one time I hot bagged, I had like Indian curry and it was like 2 o'clock in the morning and I took care of it. It was quick, done. And then I actually, I triple bagged it sealed it in the toilet. And the second I texted our driver, I was like, yo, can you just stop at a gas station real quick? And he did. And I just ended up just chucking it. And I'm like, okay, we're good. Keep going. So it's, we stopped for maybe 10 seconds.
That's the way to do it. Don't toss it out the window when another bus is behind you or the cops are behind you.
Yeah.
And don't poop in the toilet because you're too relaxed, and then pick it out of the toilet and tell your TM, I just pooped in the toilet.
Dude, is that what happened? Did that happen? Did that happen to you?
Yeah, but I did, you know, I told this story a million times on this podcast, so I don't care anymore. I put a bag over my head. You know how the way you pick up dog poop
and and you just pick it up.
And I was so
relaxed. That have felt
I'm a very regular pooper, and it just came out.
Yeah,
I can't do anything.
Yeah, no. When you're on a cycle, you can't avoid it. It's very bad.
Connie was relaxed. Exactly.
That's so funny.
But it was very solid. It was no.
There's something so like primal about picking up your own poop like a dog's.
I did that. When
you
say
it like that, it's like, okay, you're right.
You just have little, instead of like dog poop bags, like human-sized poop bags,
like
right?
Yesterday, this was pasta. Now it's poop in my head.
You're just like, yeah, oh, I remember that meal.
Oh, yeah, there's the little.
But yeah, no, you know what? I think I'm good at.
Hot bagging.
Sorry. Actually, yes, I'm very good at hot bagging, but I'm good at like timing my
good
meals
for you.
Now. Like, I know when to eat. I know when I'm like, okay, it's midnight, bus call is 1. I can eat at 12:30.
And poop
and
6.
Yeah, exactly. when we make our first stop, because we're inevitably going to stop at a gas station.
It's so nice when you can, like, control those body functions. I'm like, okay, first coffee in the morning. I know in, like, 10 minutes, I'm going to have to poop. Perfect.
Yeah, rub it in.
I mean, sometimes you can't avoid it, so I get it.
Speaking about food, we get a lot of, like, snacks. We just went to the Italian supermarket, so if you want anything...
We got
you guys got my favorite. So this is probably my favorite candy bar in all of
and
Europe.
And we ask that we ask all our guests, what's your favorite like tour snack? Mm-hmm. This would be yours.
My favorite tour snack.
Snack could be a whole pizza too. Just
yeah, that's
making
what I'm,
sure.
Yeah. It's, so this is my favorite candy. I don't think this is my favorite snack because I try to do my best to not eat too much like candy and like I try to eat good
on
tour because it's very easy to eat bad.
What?
It's so, I mean, you guys have toured in the States, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, you know, there's no such thing as catering in the States.
Yeah, we just got like carrot sticks and
$10. There's a Taco Bell over there. Figure it out.
I know. But I love the veggie trays.
With the sour cream dip.
Yeah, we always.
But if like one veggie tray for 10 people, that's like not enough.
Yeah, that's what you get. That's what you get too. On the riders, we always put like veggie trays, fruit trays, cases of water, and I can't stress enough how important it is to eat your vegetables and fruit on tour because the amount of times people are like, let's go to this burger joint or let's go to this pizza spot. And it's like, you guys know you're not getting any vegetables or any fiber.
Right.
Nothing at all.
And then that's where the hot bags come from.
That's true. That's what I also always tell people. I'm like, hey, you got to eat right. You got to sleep right. You got to stay hydrated.
Totally,
you can party. I don't give a fuck. But please drink, eat, sleep.
Well,
because I don't
TM
need any
too,
like, fucking grumpy people. Yeah. I'm the grumpy one if anyone's grumpy because you're all waking up too late.
And you know all about it, TMing as well.
Yeah, yeah. TMing is actually, you know what's funny is it's kind of second nature for me.
Because you're a natural caretaker.
Because you had younger siblings that you had to take care of.
I'm the baby.
Oh.
Me too.
I'm the baby of 5.
Me too.
And you don't have any kids. Do you have
no,
kids?
No, I have
kids.
I have a cat. That's my son.
Me too. I had a cat.
Oh, you know what?
She died.
How long ago?
On the 1st of August.
We should do like a whole minute of silence for Sophie.
I'm so down.
Probably like not now, but like later. Minute of silence for Sophie. Now all the listeners know it.
Sophie
We've
lives
lost.
Forever.
We lost Sophie.
I'm sorry, dude.
Thank you. Don't make me cry.
Okay, I'm sorry.
It was tough.
Do you guys want to see Copernicus?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I have another cat, Nino.
This is Copernicus.
Aw, look at him.
He looks like Nino. I have another cat, but he doesn't live
Sweet.
With me.
So he's a cute little guy.
How old is he?
He is 3 and a half, I think.
A baby.
Or he's almost, he's just about 3. Yeah, 3 and a few months.
Is he a house cat?
Yeah. I mean, he likes to go outside, but the second he goes outside, he gets kind of scared if you rattle, like, any, like, stuff. And he's just like, he's a huge pussy. Like, he's scared of everything.
How is it for you being away from your kid/cat?
Very difficult because I've been away for, so I've been on tour since May, and not the same, not the same one tour, yeah. but in May I did tour management and sound for an artist named Scene Queen. And then immediately after, like I had 3 days at home, and then I went and did sound for an artist named Secrets. Secrets is really cool. And then as soon as that was done, Being as an Ocean had a tour throughout the States, and I only had 2 days before that tour started. And then another 2 days after that tour ended, and we flew out here, and we've just been going. So it's May up until today's September 14th, I think.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, like mid-September. So I just haven't been home.
Shit.
And it's very difficult because, like, I love that little guy. And he, I know he loves me. When I'm home, I'm like, I'm his alpha. So he'll, if I'm outside in the living room, he'll come outside. But if I'm not there, he won't go out and play and stuff. So it's just, it's kind of, it's been very difficult. It gets really hard. And I'm not even going to, like, lie. I definitely cry in my bunk sometimes when I'm watching, like, videos of cats. Because it's just very hard to, like, you see the cat. And there's something about having a pet. I'm not just a cat person. Like, I love animals. I just have a cat. And it's like, you see the love that they have and they give, and they're like soft and their little feet are squishy and stuff. And it's like, I want to pick my cat up. You know, I miss him a lot. So it's definitely difficult. But when I get home from this, I have like a month and a half home. So I get to just chill with him for a bit.
Yes.
So I'm very excited. Yeah.
Cuddle him as much as you can.
I will. I totally will. I'm going to take him to the park. He's got a little harness. And
I tried that with Nino, my other cat. But he doesn't, or he doesn't live with me in the apartment because he's an outside cat. And I tried that.
I can't
do. He was freaked out by it.
I can't do outside cats. Like I had an outside cat and he lived almost like a third of the amount of life that my indoor cats lived. And I like taking my cat outside, but he's got to, I feel more safe with him.
Oh, yeah, of course. Like yeah, I get that.
But yeah, it's definitely difficult. But TMing is fun.
Yeah.
It's second nature for me because, you want to pause?
Well, I got to edit the shit out of this anyway because the battery gives a huge bus to the recording. It's just something I can't
avoid.
I can't avoid it. So,
Connor's
I'm gonna snip, snip,
okay,
snip,
cool,
snip, and EQ and whatever. And
as long as it's not, it like,
it's all right. This is, I mean, we've been doing like festival specials where we'd have like super loud stages next to us.
Okay.
So it's okay. And these, shout out to Austrian Audio, our great mics. Shout out to the Rodecaster and Klangfarbe for giving it to us. It has like gates on it, and it has like pre.
This whole setup is so cool.
Yeah, so we're good. We're gonna make it work anyway.
Fuck yeah! Then I'll carry on.
Keep talking.
Second nature.
Yeah, it's second nature because so the band I sing for, Takers Leavers, is kind of like my baby. I had the name back in high school because it was just like, you know, I read a book, I was inspired by it, and it was always a like a MySpace side project. Do you guys remember MySpace?
Oh, I love MySpace.
I actually didn't have MySpace. I'm too young for it.
She's too young for MySpace.
Yeah, MySpace was the shit.
I almost had it, but
fuck Facebook.
I was like MySpace. 2 or 3 years too young, probably.
Honestly, MySpace was probably one of the coolest things because it was how a lot of people discovered their favorite bands.
Downloaded.
Yeah, you can
music.
You can HTML your website and put songs on it, and people would come onto it. And
do you think it's gonna come back at some point?
I had the most emo website of all MySpaces ever.
You did?
Oh yeah.
What was your song?
Maybe some Funeral for a Friend song. I'm
fuck
pretty sure.
Yeah, dude. I had Janu. By them as like my song for a while.
Oh my god.
But to answer your question, I don't think it will come back.
No.
I think I heard that Justin Timberlake bought it for $1 or £1.
Of course he did.
I tried to go on and find my MySpace recently and the website's just like degraded. Like it won't even load.
What?
Yeah, it sucks. It's like
bummer.
Really, it kind of sucks because that's like a historical thing.
Reliced somehow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you remember Pure Volume?
No.
Pure Volume was like another site, but it was just for music. Like people would just go on there and bands had their pages there. Like I discovered Hawthorne Heights there. I discovered Under Oath there. Like
no,
I would have never listened to Under Oath if it wasn't for Pure Volume.
Do you need a...
Yes, please.
Connie?
Thank you.
Yes, please.
It's a hot box in here. Should I open the door for a minute?
Yeah, fuck it. Let's open it.
It's
going to beep.
Sorry about the heat.
That's all good. This isn't the worst. Italy.
I'm glad I opened because that's the cool thing about this bus. You can open both.
Yeah, so second nature, for fuck's sake.
Yeah, so when Takers Leavers became like an official project like a few years ago, like maybe a couple years before the pandemic, we when we started going on tour, we didn't have like a crew. We're not like a label band. Mm-hmm. So I was like, okay, well, I'll go talk to the promoters. And I didn't realize what I was doing was learning how to TM, but doing it for my own project. Mm-hmm. So I would go in and I would be kind to everybody and talk to the promoters and be like, hey, how's it going? I'm David. I sing for this band. At the end of the night, when you give us our guarantee, you're going to give it to me. And if there's
did
any
you give
problem,
the money to me?
Exactly. Well, yeah, because I didn't know, like, you know, I didn't, like, everybody else that was in the band at the time, like, they weren't not
to be trusted with money.
not to be trusted, but they just the band, our lineup now is like the core band. Like, we're mm-hmm. all dedicated and so happy to be here. But there, it just seemed like these were people who were like coming and then going.
Right.
But I didn't realize I was learning how to be. I was always pretty organized. Like, I always was like, okay, we need to be here at this time. We need to go do this. Oh, there's a coffee shop right here. We need to leave at this time. And this was all just second nature to where when I started doing like bigger tours, I noticed there was one person who was doing that. And mm-hmm. that was the TM. And I was like, oh shit, I already do that.
It just comes naturally to some people. And I think Vicky is definitely one of those people. Yeah. And me, when I'm on, I do sound mainly, but when I'm on a tour and there is no TM, I've always been the one taking over like responsibilities. And just, you know, even though I was always the youngest in every touring party,
it just came
like natural to me. And yeah, we're the kind of people who should do those kind of jobs.
Yeah, I think naturally, I don't think it has to do with age either. I know some people who are way younger who are just so, hey, this needs to get done. So whatever it's going to take to get it done, let's get it done.
Mm, yes.
And I think that's the coolest thing is like when a TM can be cool, but still get it done. I know you have to be somewhat of a, like a hard ass to TM. And that's a very important trait to
Or you kill them with kindness
sometimes.
And that's what I think I've learned to do, because when I was doing it with Takers, and my thought process was like, okay, I'm the singer of this band. Mm-hmm. I have an image to uphold.
Sure.
But I can't let anybody walk on us.
Mm-hmm.
So I have to kind of be kind. And if somebody's like pushing back and not fulfilling their end of the bargain, I have to kill them with kindness.
Yeah.
And so I think I learned how to do that doing that. So when I did that Scene Queen tour, it was probably one of my first big tours, because usually I'm doing like 300 to 500 cap rooms. Mm-hmm. Those are like 1,500, 2,000 cap rooms. And I was just like, oh shit.
Nice.
Here we go.
Good for you.
Big step.
But I didn't realize it was proportional. Like, mm-hmm. I'm doing the same thing. I'm just talking to more people.
I just wanted to say the same thing because, sorry if I cut you
no,
off.
No,
I didn't
want
to cut
you're
you
good,
off.
You're good.
But I had the same thought process, like, before I take on a new job as a TM, I'm usually asking, okay, what kind of capacity are we looking at? And then it's like this and this amount, and I'm like,
then you're like, I need an assistant.
I need an assistant, and I got a nap while the assistant I'll take the money and they get 5%. But in the end, it's the same work. It is the same work. It's more people, but you're not talking to the fans, you know?
It's
the same travel party, maybe one or two people more or whatever, but in the end, it's the same. The same thing.
Yeah, I mean, you're essentially, you are the face of the band, but not the face of the front. You're the face of the back end.
Right.
So if you're a shit TM and you're talking terrible to the whole crew and the venue staff and the promoters, they'll remember that.
Of course.
Whereas if I'm incredibly friendly with them and I'm just like, hey, whatever you need it, like, to get the show to be successful, let me know, and then vice versa.
Every the same goal.
Every venue on that tour that we did, they were all like, dude, it was such a pleasure working with you. And I think because I'm a performer too, I understand this how the whole system works. Mm-hmm. It's like knowing how a whole car works,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to just being a really good driver.
Yeah.
Like, I can like change the tires if I need to. I can work on the engine if I need to. It's
And you can, like, in a tour context, you can fill in on guitar and vocals as well.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No.
He broke his arm. I'm going to get him to the hospital, and then I'm gonna play guitar for him.
Exactly. I think it's the term is like you're a clutch player.
Yeah.
You know, a TM is so, if your brain can process, like, all it is problem solving.
Yeah.
And
troubleshooting.
Yeah.
Just like for front of house work, all you do is problem solving and fighting against natural issues.
Yeah. And I think front of house is such a cool thing to do. And
I love it.
It's dude, I've heard, I think like one of the most satisfying things to do is nail a mix. And the sad, not the sad thing, because I know a lot of people who will come up and appreciate it, but most people don't recognize mm-hmm. that they're hearing an incredible mm-hmm. mix. They're just like, this is what it's supposed to sound like. And it's like, no, dude, when you know how to work with your gates, tune the room, do the whole thing, like it's so satisfying.
Yeah. I definitely get compliments, but what people recognize more often is when it sounds bad.
Yeah.
When
yeah,
something
yeah.
sounds off, but a lot of times that's so out of your hands.
Totally, yeah.
Depending on the venue, on the natural, like the sound of the room, whatever. Sometimes you just can't do anything about it. And that's when they come over and say, I can't hear this or that. Or maybe a guy who is a drummer says, I need more snare. Maybe someone who's a singer themselves, they are like, I need more vocals.
And yeah, yeah.
It's just like, you know, I'm always doing my best. But
yeah, I mean, you can only please so many people, and like that's why everybody just needs to get on in your monitors, like fix, make your own mix, yeah. do whatever you need.
Tell that to all the hardcore bands out there.
Honestly, though, I think there's like a certain extent that needs like in ears, like certain
everyone.
Metalcore bands, bands where there's a lot of technicality and it's less like, yeah. like even being as an Ocean, like when we play, we have in ears because there's, yeah, like singing, I need to hear the riffs that I'm playing, but there are times where it's just a fucking like melodic hardcore breakdown and you don't really need anything because you just know the rhythm mm-hmm. and you just kind of get lost into it. But would you say that the biggest compliment you can get for a mix is nobody saying anything and just mm-hmm. going, hey, yeah, that's you sounded great. Whereas like if somebody comes up and goes, oh, the drum sounded like this, like I would rather
have no comment.
No
yeah.
comment, yeah.
And if they come up and tell me it was great, I sometimes... Just me personally, I can't
you think they're lying
know
to you?
If they just think, hey, it's cool that a girl is doing this.
Oh,
and I'm
going to yeah,
give her
yeah.
a compliment. So mm-hmm. I have a hard time taking compliments. I'd rather have no one commenting at all.
Totally, that's,
don't
yeah.
tell that's Connie yeah. she's doing a great job. Ever.
Just don't Connie, talk to me at all, okay?
Don't
approach me. Don't talk to me.
You're going to have to scoop out the 2K. It's killing me, Connie. I think the coolest thing, though, is when you have the house guy that works at the venue come up to you and tell you,
yes,
yo,
that's definitely,
you made this room yeah. sound really good.
One of the best mixes I've ever heard in here or something
yeah,
like that.
That's a compliment. But, and then like, I'll have some people, like that are fans come up and stand next to the board and like, I get what they're doing. They're like, oh, you know, I've like got to give you your props too. And I'm like, that's mm-hmm. cool. Thank you. But sometimes I just think it's like, they're like forcing it.
Leave me alone.
Yeah.
Or if the venue guys go up to the band and tell them that you did a great job. That's probably the best thing
dude,
ever.
Yeah.
Because those are the people who need to hear it. Like, who need to hear that you're doing a good job.
Yeah.
And then they're like, okay, that's why we hire you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Would you, okay, can we, like, we gotta like backstep and go back to the left. Would you say there's still a lot of like sexism in being a front of house? Because like I have friends that are female that are front of house and they mix better than like 80% of the guys that I know.
A lot of times I just can't judge if people talk to me or say certain things because of my gender or because they just would talk to any other engineer like that or would say the same things.
Yeah.
It's hard to tell what the reason behind it is. So I have a hard time. I mean, there's definitely like obviously sexist comments. Mm-hmm. Like if you go into the venue and carry your desk in there, and I've had that last weekend, set up the desk, set up the mic, start cabling, like pulling out XLRs and shit. And then one of the venue guys who helped me carry in the desk says, oh, so you're mixing today? And I'm like, yeah, why do you think I...
No, I'm just
And he's
fucking,
like startled
yeah.
and then says,
I'm just a groupie.
This is, it's so Sorry, great that you're doing this. You. It's so great. I'm like, you haven't even heard anything, so let's just chill. So it's like, sometimes just, as I said before, don't say anything at all.
Yeah, I like, think it's crazy how like, and this is like an argument, or not even an argument, this is a conversation that like a lot of people still bring up, but when there are bands who promote themselves as female fronted, I understand why it is, but I think it's cooler when it's just like, hey, here's a band. And
yeah.
Like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
That's...
Yeah,
girls,
the emphasis on it's a female.
Yes.
Like, do your
yeah,
thing.
It's like,
yeah.
I was on tour with Marco this summer with Comeback Kid, and then the guys are great because they don't make any difference. And then they have like recommended me to other bands.
Yeah.
And not saying like we have this great like female front of house person.
It's just, we have
they sometimes even are like we have someone who is really great.
Yeah, keep it obscure.
Yeah, and yeah. that's the perfect thing. Like, just don't make it about gender at all.
Dude, yeah, and I also, on the flip side of it, I know that we still have to, like, push through to get it to be more of a standard. But I think, I don't know, for somebody who's, like, dealt with, like, adversity in some, like, shape or, like, form, we just, you know, we're a few days past 9/11, and when that happened mm-hmm. in the States, like, mm-hmm. there's a lot of racism that came out, and when you have any type of prejudice, even if it's subtle, you're kind of like, hey, you're pointing it out. Let's just kind of neutralize it yeah. entirely. Not say, sound guy. Just say front of house or sound person. Or just like neutralize the whole playing field. Because do you guys know, the band Dayseeker?
Yes.
They're front of house. Mm-hmm. Her name's Sarah. She's incredible. Mm-hmm. I have a friend named Michelle who works at a venue in, I think it's Worcester, Pennsylvania. Mm-hmm. is where I met her. She's just now starting to do sound, and she's incredible at it. And again, I know guys who have been doing it for years, and they're not incredible at mm-hmm. doing it. And it's kind of like a give or take. Like, it doesn't matter what your gender is. It's like, are you fucking good at it or
you
not?
You just get it. You just have the mindset that you have to put in some extra effort and just go the extra mile in learning and trying to be the best at what you do.
Yeah.
Because that's like in our heads. Because as a woman, you maybe don't have it as that easy, or I'm not saying that there's no guys that put in the extra mile.
Totally, yeah.
But I think I do, and I know a lot of like female colleagues that do. And I want to say like I'm totally for like pushing women in this industry, and we do that. We have our Sisters of Music Network, and
yeah, oh, I saw that.
Yeah, that's so and I'm cool. very active. I was there from the beginning, and we've done so much work over the past years. We even had our own festival this summer with a whole like all female crew. And what I always say is like, there's 365 days in the year. We take one day out of the year where we put all the attention to the females in our industry, where we say we want the press, we want to show all of this to the world and say, hey, there's young women out there. If you want to do this, you can do this. But then in my day-to-day business, I'd rather just be neutral and not like stress it out every day, because I'm very active when it comes to that. But sometimes I just need to work.
Yeah,
and do
just
my work.
Be treated like you are still part of the crew and not like the girl in the crew.
So there's a time for activism like that. And then there's the time for me where it's just in the background because I'm just a person of this crew, mm-hmm. no matter what gender.
I feel that because I think there's still like a push. Like, I'm not going to not, speak out and give my beliefs and my stances, but at the same time, when we're trying to get something done, I'm not going to use that to fuel how I interact mm-hmm. with you. It's going to create this weird, like, it's like when somebody gets upset at you for not knowing something and you're like, well, now you've made me scared to interact with this type of person, whereas just like neutralize it, be cool, mm-hmm. and then if you have questions, maybe later on down the line we can talk
because
about
we got a show to do, we got stuff to do, we have a show to run, so let's just do that.
Fuck yeah.
So that's a lot of like deep talk.
Yeah, respect.
I love that we talked about it, but we still gotta squeeze in some questions that we always ask in the podcast.
Uh oh, I'm scared.
Vicky, you go ahead.
Have we talked about your favorite tour snack?
We have.
Started talking about it.
Okay, my favorite tour snack.
Snack.
In Europe are those like, I think the first time I got them was in Germany, but I'm sure they're everywhere. They're like those gas station little sandwiches that you get like on different types of bread with like they'll put like bell peppers, a slice of meat, cheese. You guys know what I'm talking about?
Just is like this triangular? Like,
they can be. They're like triangular long. The first
like
one,
freshly made?
Or? I think so. Yeah, okay. It looks like they're freshly
made. Is it grilled?
No. No, they're like literally just
because the bread is so good.
That's what it is.
The bread is really good.
The bread is so much better.
I can't stress enough how good the bread in Europe is. Specifically, I'm not going to lie, Germany has like
and Austria, which is basically the same when it comes to the bread. Like, our bread is the shit.
So one of my favorite, two of my favorite cities on this planet are in Austria.
Vienna and Salzburg.
Yeah.
I won nothing, but I got it right.
You can have one of these lion bars.
No, it's so sweet. But thank you so much. It's all for you.
All three of them?
Yeah.
Didn't we just talk about trying to eat healthy?
That's
Well, you can't eat one today, one tomorrow, and one the day after. Right.
Fair enough. After
or
I
maybe
eat
it's
a bunch
a
of
giant
vegetables.
One by now because it's so hot in here.
No, no, it should be fine. I think these have
extra packed.
Yeah, they should be good. But I would say I think that is my favorite snack just because it's so simple. Mm-hmm. And it's like, wow. You can put, like, there's sometimes butter on it.
Oh, yeah.
I had it with, like, pretzel bread once.
I just found out that in America, you never put, like, butter. If we make sandwiches, there is a layer of butter in
or mayo.
No, because mayo. But you are so Americanized, and that's what they do in the States, mayo and mustard. For us, sandwich, butter. Just butter, and then, like, cheese and ham or something.
That's so funny. I only have it here, and like I've never thought about it like that. But I will say, peanut butter and jelly sandwiches.
Mm-hmm. We like that, but it's
the
nothing
Elvis
we do
with
here.
Bananas.
My favorite is Elvis? A peanut butter, honey, and banana sandwich.
Shit.
It's fucking amazing. Ooh, but what I do is when I toast the bread or like heat the bread up, I put a little bit of butter on it, and then dash some cinnamon, and then peanut butter. Yeah, game changer.
Heavy.
Heavy for sure. It's really good. It's a great like post or pre gym snack. It tastes so good. It tastes like I love sweet stuff. That's why I try to not eat sweet stuff, and it scratches the craving.
Makes sense.
Everybody who knows me, like anybody who's watching this and is like, "That's a fucking lie." He eats it. Joel has seen me eat like 4 Lion bars in a row, like the king's, like the big.
What?
Yeah,
they're really good.
They did not
You're
have
right
them. I would have gotten you. All of them.
I'm so glad that they didn't have them because it would have probably
next time.
Vic, this is not good for me. Okay, I'm trying my hardest.
You're obviously going to the gym. Okay,
so I try to.
Better fucking inhale those.
That's why
better
I think I justify
smash them
it,
at once.
Smash them.
All right, I'm probably gonna eat all 3 of them tonight.
Good.
I'm not gonna.
We get more snacks, and you know, snacking on the podcast always makes like a lot of like chewing noises and shit.
Also, like ASMR.
Yeah.
Berries.
But sometimes we can't.
What's that? It's berries. That's fruit.
You fucking idiot.
These ones are cantuccini. They're called
cantuccini.
And you have they're super crunchy. You have them with coffee.
Stuff.
Let
me try one.
Cantuccini.
One up, or more.
They're really good. Also, like we talked about like food now, but another question that we always ask our guests is,
we need the most impressive tour story that has stuck to your head. Could be funny, could be weird, could be fucked up.
The most
could be sad, could
be sad. Like
just something crazy
running
that comes
over
to mind.
A worm
you know
with the tour bus
I
or
had
something like that.
Hold on, let me
grab the mic.
Give something to the crowd. Real
stuff.
Quick.
Yeah. That's when we usually don't wear headphones with this setup, but if you have headphones, it's amazing. Oh.
I hear a new delivery of Monster coming into
our... That's just going to be the outtake that I'll post on Instagram. Just you slurping the money.
The money.
This is actually... The money? Is that what you said?
The money. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, fuck.
That's shout out to our friends at Monster. They taught us that.
I'm taking
money.
I'm taking this back. I'm taking that phrase back to the States.
The money?
The money, yeah.
The money.
I've never heard of that. That is incredible.
It's... Yeah.
So the...
Correct. The money.
Tour story that I have. It's not...
Yes.
It's more like mind-blowing to me. It was a very personal moment. It just happened on this tour. I've said it. I've told my family and I've told the crew. But so let me preface it with in Afghan culture, going to concerts and being like a musician isn't like a thing. Mm-hmm. You know, when the Soviets invaded Afghanistan in the 80s and my family fled over here, it was a family. It was like my mom and dad and then 4 kids who were like ages 8 to like a new like born baby. Yeah, so
which was you?
No, I wasn't even born at the time. Right. This was in the 80s, like 83.
Oh yeah, you're way too young.
I was born in 1990. So I wasn't even born at the time. All 4 of them basically lived in a car and my dad worked at a donut shop and they like built up their money and they finally got an apartment and eventually like were able to get a house. You know, rags to riches. Mm. My parents were kind of old school and it was always like, go be a doctor, go to school, get paid well, you know, lawyer, whatever. So being a musician was just not a thing. And so you can imagine their happiness when I decided to be a musician, right? It took a lot of time, but they ended up understanding that it's not just a phase. So anyway, I'm now touring. I'm showing them like, hey, I can, you know, be successful doing this. They're very happy with it. So we're playing in London like a week and I think it was a week and a half ago. And I'm standing on the right side of the stage. If you're on stage, we call that stage right. If you're facing the stage, it's stage left. But we start the set and I see near like center stage, there's this girl, her brother, and what looks like to be their mom. And she looks like she doesn't know all the lyrics, but she's so happy to be there. And she's wearing these glasses. She has dark hair that honestly look like they're Afghan, but she reminds me so much of my sister, who's the middle of all the siblings, that I kind of like start crying a little bit because it reminds me of all that whole history. And I'm just like, in this moment, I'm like, yo, I need to pull myself together. But I just keep seeing her hand up. And I'm getting a little choked up thinking about it, but her hand is up and she doesn't know all the lyrics, but she's like looking at all like me and Joel running by and like her senses
are
over.
Don't make me cry. Don't make me cry.
I'm like trying not to cry right now. Her mom is like kind of standing there. Her brother's pretty stoked, but they both look like they're 15, 16. Her mom's kind of standing there like, looks like she's never been to one of these shows, but is just there for her daughter. And so I go up to her the second song in. And I'm like riffing to her and she's losing it. And so I set my pick down right in front of her and she takes it. And for like the next 30 seconds, like I can see her brain like sputtering out going like, oh, what? Like, wow. She's like so excited. And so I even tell Joel, I'm like, dude, I like this girl is like making me weep. I'm crying. Like I have snot coming down my nose. I'm fucking weeping just because like every memory that I've had growing up trying to do music and I see this family here and her mom is actually supporting it even though she doesn't know what the fuck she's like experiencing right now. There's people moshing. It's crazy. So
she's like pushing them in.
The end of the show, I actually go up straight to him. I was like, hey, I just have to tell you, like, you made me cry the first three songs. Like, you remind me of my sister. And she had she's this cute 15-year-old, like, Indian girl. I think she was Indian. Like she had the sweet little accent, like British accent. She was like, I'm just so excited to be here. This is like, I just heard about you guys a few days ago. My brother showed me your music. And I'm like, what's your name? And she looks at me and she says, Miriam. No. My sister's name is Miriam.
Oh no.
Fucking started weeping. No. Dude. Like I like held her and I started crying and I was like, are you joking with me? And she's like, no.
Did you call your sister after this?
I FaceTimed her, yeah. She started crying when I told her.
Oh, my God.
But the even crazier thing is, like, I usually wear a ring on my right ring finger. It's a silver ring. It's my grandmother's ring. I asked her mom what her name was, and she said Aisha. My grandma's name is Aisha.
No way.
I fucking lost it again.
It's like the universe, like, dude, telling you something.
It was such a very pivotal moment in, like, I think my, like, music career, if you could call it that. Like, it was just something that lined up to where, like, I get chills when I think about it. And I've told that story several times.
I love it.
And it just still makes me feel very, like I'm doing something right, even though sometimes I feel like, you know, I wish takers leavers were a little further or, mm-hmm. you know, I was able to do this or that, but I'm just glad that that happened. Cause it was like, hey, you're on the right path. Mm-hmm. So I'm sorry. It wasn't like a funny or like,
no, it's amazing. Story, I love, I had tears in my eyes. Hear.
Hell yeah.
So
I'm sorry, dude, I'm telling you, like when I told my sister that I like FaceTimed her, it was late at night for me. I was about to go to sleep, but I told her and I love my sister. She's just going through some, like, you know, she just, I don't want to get too personal with it, but she's going through some stuff in life and she's actually just now going to concerts for the first time. And she came to one of the Being as an Ocean shows in the States and she, like, seeing her there was so cool for me because, like, I'd never seen her. She would never come out, you know. She would always, she's a homebody. Mm-hmm. She's got two daughters, two of my favorite people on this planet. But it just kind of, like, I don't know, the emotions, like, float over me and I'm like, hell yeah, I think I'm doing something right.
Thank you for the story. Also kudos to your parents for being such bosses and
honestly, dude, I
amazing now, story,
fucking
really
incredible
when I think about it. Like I understand why there was so much of a pushback because it's not easy to do music and succeed in it.
Oh yeah.
But there's something so fulfilling about being able to do it and have moments like that to where a six-figure, seven-figure income is cool. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure, like, I would be happy with it. But I feel like if I can make it doing this and still be, like, financially
live
stable.
Live a good life.
Yeah.
Be comfortable, be happy.
Yeah, you can't take it with you. Like, when you die, like, you can't take any of this shit with you. So, it was definitely a very cool, like, full circle moment. But I'm very thankful for my parents. And I'm thankful that they were able to soften their views mm-hmm. on what it was. Because they're like old school Afghan parents. Like, a lot of my friends who are from, like, Japan or Korea, they're parenting
the same.
Very like, yo, you're
learn
gonna do
something
this.
Normal, something that gets you stable life or whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm sure they're proud of you though. I mean,
I think they are. Sure. You know, I send pictures, and we have the Signal group chat, and I send pictures and updates like, this is what I'm eating, this is what we're doing, this is aww. You know, pictures from the night before. And my dad's, you know, my dad was the hardest one to get to like open up to mm-hmm. it, but he's asking me questions now. He's like, how was the show? And I'm like,
that's the biggest compliment.
What?
Yeah.
My mom has always been actually like low-key very supportive. I think she's just kind of been resistant because she just wants to make sure my dad's point is getting across. Mm. And she wants me to, ultimately my mom wants me to be happy. She just asks if I'm eating food and if I'm healthy and happy. And I'm
like,
of course.
Your lion bars?
She doesn't know what a lion bar is, but I'm going to take, before I leave and go back home, I'm going to buy like 15 of them.
You don't have those?
No, we don't have lion bars.
What?
Yeah. Oh. And you know what's funny? A Milky Way in Europe is different than a Milky Way in the States.
I know.
Because I think a Milky Way here...
Everything's slightly different.
Yeah.
I guess.
A Milky Way in the States is a Mars bar here, but a Milky Way here is a Three Musketeers bar mm-hmm. in the States.
Mm. Confusing shit.
It's incredibly confusing.
Okay, I'm not going to pull that joke now.
What?
Nothing. No.
She already said it, so she has to do it.
No.
Another dead
A Milky
joke.
Way could also be something very different.
Oh. Yeah, no, she's right, though. You can
We're not going to elaborate.
You can Urban Dictionary that one.
Yes,
I'm sure you guys
exactly.
Will
you
out.
Could.
Look it up, kids.
Connie's going to pull out of what is a Milky Way.
That is so
up,
innocent of you, dude. Oh, man.
Connie's so young.
She doesn't know what MySpace is. She doesn't know what a Milky Way is.
She does not.
What's next?
I said,
she owns
this
a fucking sick car. Okay.
I said it's
this
a bang
a
bus,
fucking...
and Connie was looking like, what is a bang bus? Connie's innocent. And
now
young.
You're just making
you
fun of me. This is the point where we have
I'm the old one, okay?
We have to wrap this episode up.
When Bucky said he was born in 1990, Connie and I exchanged looks, and I was like, shit, I'm the oldest one again.
Wait, when were you born?
A fucking old man.
88. If you're gonna say 2 years.
89.
89?
Okay, I'm going to cry. 89,
that's
yeah,
not that
fuck.
Bad. You could
it
be,
is really bad.
You could be born in 85 and you're still part of like the younger...
I'm
like a 90s kid, technically.
I'm still... You know what? I'm still considered millennial. I'm just like at the edge of it, but we're the same
I'm
like
a boomer.
Generation.
I'm that old. I'm a fucking boomer.
What year were you born?
96.
Oh, dude.
She's a fetus, basically. Hey, that's a compliment. I just told you when we were getting ready,
baby,
Connie,
I still
why
have
do
the
I look
baby
so
fat.
Got the baby hairs too. Okay?
Yeah, the baby hairs. Yeah. Okay, no, really, we got to wrap it up because we have a limit of about an hour because we just keep talking. And we haven't recorded an episode in a couple of weeks, so the talking is
never ending. Also
but we do have one last very important question.
Hit me with it.
Take it away, Vicky.
Okay. What is your favorite song, like the tour jam that you will play when you're on the bus with the band? There is a
hype
song
before the show. What's what's the song?
What's
so
the hymn?
On this tour lately, it's been One Kiss by Dua Lipa.
One Kiss is okay.
Dude, okay. It's so fucking catchy. But we were talking about... I think that's the hype song. That's the one that we all listen to.
It's got to be the outro of that.
Yeah, you got to decide, man.
No,
but tell us
that.
The other one. Is that what I want to know now?
No, the other one, it's not even a hype song. What we've been doing, me and Casey, the drummer, we've been talking about, like, what's the most, like, the song that's been stuck in your head forever? And for him, it was that song by, do you guys know Blind Melon?
Uh-huh.
You know, like, do, 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 do. Mm-hmm. All I can say is that my life is pretty.
Ah, this one.
But then he starts going into Green Day right after it.
Uh-huh.
He goes, my life is pretty plain, neurotic to the bone. And I can't, that's been stuck in my head. And so don't do that song.
A medley.
Do Dua Lipa. Yeah, Dua Lipa.
Cool. So, and before, oh shit, I just, it's empty. Almost spilled a monster in my bag. So, I'd say we wrap this episode up with a little grappa.
Sì, d'Italia.
I stole this from my parents.
Thank you, parents.
Italian grappa.
Did you just out yourself on your own podcast? Your parents watch it?
They don't. Like, my mom plays 30 seconds of every episode because I told her that gives us a play on Spotify.
Yeah,
my
mom, so she doesn't actually watch it.
My mom listens.
Her mom listens.
She's the best podcast she's ever heard.
Her mom?
I mean, they don't know each other.
Oh.
They don't.
How long have you guys been friends?
A couple of years, but
3 years?
You know, my parents know you, have seen you a couple of times, but I've never met your mom.
You have never met my mom?
She always gives Vicky like self-made, homemade jam for me and shit, but we've never
cute.
Met.
I made
what
a little glass for Connie.
And
can
like,
you take
yeah,
it to
yeah. My parents produce so much shit at home. Like, they have their own little farm and they always give me like self-made everything for Vicky. So
that's so cute. That's like my mom does that with my friends too. When she meets my friends and she like loves them, she's like, hey, I made all this extra food. Here's your Aww. Serving, and then I made all this extra stuff for your
friends.
I'm coming
over.
And I'm like, dude, her cooking is the best cooking.
On point.
Oh, we're coming over.
Yes.
Let me know when, and I'll make sure she like.
I was actually talking to Vicky earlier about maybe visiting California in, what is it, beginning of November. I'm not quite sure, but I have like between two like tours or two, a tour and the music cruise that we're going on. I have like 10 days in between.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the Vlog and Molly cruise.
Oh, fuck yeah. If you guys end up doing that, let me know. Thank you.
So,
let me know because I think the Scene Queen tour that I'm doing in November starts November 2nd. But I think there's a couple like California dates. So if you guys are in that area, I think
I'm
gonna starts
come to California
in like
with my boyfriend next
week. Yeah, yeah. Didn't I meet him last time? Or no, he lives in Arizona, right?
He lives in Arizona. Maybe you met him because he's on tour all the time.
What is he
so
do?
Many bands. He is a TM assistant and the merchandise manager. He does Cannibal Corpse
and
Flog and Molly. And
he might know my buddy who does.
He knows
sound.
So many people. Yeah. Everywhere he goes, they're like, yo, Kenny, what's up?
Full That's circle.
So
the world is so small.
The
it
world
is
crazy.
Yeah,
very small.
Music world is so tiny.
What's crazy is it's not just small in the States. Like, across the continents, like
the
world is a fucking village.
Yeah, and the more you're friendly with people, and the more you make good memories, I think it'll last longer. So it's like we're all in sweaty vans and loading in and loading out late. Like, let's just be chill with one another. So,
cheers!
And this
to
is
that.
Another great memory. Hopefully,
yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yes. Thanks for having me.
Thank
dude.
You for
this
coming.
Is so sick.
Thanks for taking your time.
How do you
cheers.
Say? Because what
in
is
Italian?
It? Yeah.
They say chin chin.
Chin chin.
Salud is Spanish.
Yeah.
And then how do you say it in Austria?
Prost, Prost.
Oh, so it's like German then.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
But we've got the same language.
And,
we were once very close.
In Dari, in Dari we say salamati.
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 Cheers.
Woo.
That's really good.
Let up heaven in me. The feeling won't let I'm lost in the way you move, the way you feel.